I'd like to share with you something that it's been on my heart. And before I even left for Mexico this time, I was packing things up, and I was just kind of thanking the Lord for the blessings He had given me and He's been giving me, and I was just kind of having a good time thinking about it. And I was thinking, man, I don't have any debts right now. I'm debt free. I don't owe any man anything. I may not have much, but I'm not in debt. And then it hit me. There's a scripture. Romans 1:14. Three little words. I am debtor. Hit me like a ton of bricks. What? I'm debtor. And, it starts off with one debt that we have right off the bat. That's a debt to God. And, Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The scripture says, right here, that the life we have now is his life. He's the one that's living in us. And it's not us anymore. It's him. Why? We are crucified with him. We no longer live. We're dead. As far as God's concerned, I'm a dead man. I'm useless. But because he lives in me, I'm alive today. I owe my life to him. I owe everything I have to him. He's the one that's given it all to me. I owe it all to him. So do you. We all owe everything we have to God. The salvation he's given us, the love he's bestowed on us, says here that he loved me. He loved us and he gave himself for us. We owe everything we have to him. In 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20, make it a little more clear. Starts with the question, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Don't you know this? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Here we have it again. The Holy Ghost is in us. We're his temple. And we're not our own. I'm not my own. I'm his. He bought me. He bought us. We're no longer our own. And it says here, glorify God. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. They're no longer ours. They're his. We owe our bodies and our spirits to him. They're not ours. He paid for them. He bought them. They're his. And because of that, what he did for us, what he bought for us, we owe him everything we have. And we ought to be, like Paul says in Philippians 1:1, servants, the servants of Jesus Christ. We ought to be the servants of Jesus Christ. Why? Because he owns us. He's our master. He's our Lord. And everything we do ought to be to his pleasing, whether he's pleased or not. I got to thinking, I don't know how it applies to y'all, but I remember myself when I was here the other day, one of the brothers was asking me, what did I do before I was a missionary? Well, I lived here and I worked as a carpenter. I worked for several different employers, and for each one of these guys, I worked hard. I did my best because I always wanted to keep the job. I didn't want to have that idea or that failure that I got fired because I wasn't a good worker. And I sought to please the boss by working hard, being there on time, and so forth. And I'd give those bosses at least 40 hours of my week. And if we'll do that for a man here on this earth, what should we do for God? What more should we give for him? He's our owner. He's the one that gives us everything we have. The boss, man, he just gives us a little bit of money to make it through the next week. But God gives us life to continue day by day. Gives us the strength that we need to go on and to be what we need to be and what we should be. Wouldn't you like to be the best servant the Lord has? I know I used to like being the best worker the boss had. Because then I knew that if somebody was to get fired, it wasn't going to be me. Wouldn't you like to be the best servant the Lord has? And because that we owe God everything, for that simple reason, we're debtors. I was saying earlier that I owe no man anything. And in that aspect, I don't owe anybody any money. But because I owe God everything I am and have, I owe man. What do I owe him? Well, in reality, I'm free. It says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Verse 19, Paul, he says, "For though I be free from all men," from all men, he was free. He didn't owe nobody. He wasn't a servant of anybody. But what does he say? "Yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. Because God is my master. Because I owe him everything, I also owe you. I owe man. And what do I owe him? My service." What kind of service? Well, right here, Paul, the context, he's talking about what he does. He's, well, let's go and read it. "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law of Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I have made all things unto all men, that I might by all means save some." What's the purpose of this debt? That some might be saved. He says, "And this I do for my sake," no, "for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you." This he did for the gospel's sake. What are you willing to do for the gospel's sake? Are you willing to become a servant unto all? Are you willing to give up what you like best? I was thinking a while back, there was a couple brothers who were talking about these problems they had, and there was this one brother who was saying that TV was bad and all this kind of stuff. And it all depends on what's your attitude and what's your perspective on it. If you abuse the TV, well, then it's bad. You shouldn't have one. That's all there is to it. But if you can control that thing, fine. What's the problem? And they were having a problem about that, and I got to thinking, what am I willing to give up to keep another brother from getting offended? You know, I'm talking to the church right now, about the church itself, because there should be unity in the church. You know, I don't have a TV right now. I sold it because I was moving. I didn't want to carry it with me. And I got to thinking, am I willing to just kick out the TV altogether just so that someone else won't get offended? And I got to thinking about the scriptures where Paul talks about, if eating meat's going to offend you, I won't eat meat anymore. And I got to thinking, am I willing to be a vegetarian so that someone else won't be offended? You know, hey, that's hard to swallow. Not that I don't... I like vegetables and all, but I like meat too. Am I willing to do that so another brother won't be offended? Think on it a little while. What are you willing to do for the Lord so that His purpose, His will be accomplished? You know, that was an example we find in Scripture. And I always think, yeah, that's talking about meat offered to idols, you know. Well, some people just are vegetarians. They got all kinds of quirks about eating meat and that it's not good for you and all this kind of stuff. And they'll say, you're not your own. You got to take care of your body better. Well, if it'll keep from offending you, I'll give up meat. Are you willing to do that? Am I willing to do that, really? And it really hit kind of hard, and that kind of hit home. I like eating meat. And being a free man, am I willing to give up my liberty so that another won't be offended? Am I willing to give up my liberty, like Paul talking here, saying to the Jews I became a Jew? Why? So he might gain the Jews. Am I willing to give up my liberties that I have as a child of God, as a free man, or free of all men, so that I might gain some? What are you willing to give up? Your time? Your money? Your pride? Are you willing to give up some of these things so that others might hear? Let's go to Romans 1:14. Romans 1:14. Paul says, "I am debtor, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise." He's a debtor. Why? For the gospel's sake. We just saw that. For the gospel's sake, he was a debtor to all men. He was a debtor to them. So what is he going to do about it? He tells us in the next verse. "So, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also." What's he going to do about this debt? He's going to get paying it. Preaching the gospel. Preaching the gospel. And a lot of people think that doing these good things of putting clothes on the people that don't have and feeding the poor and stuff like that, Those are good things to do, but that's not going to pay the debt. The debt needs to be paid by the preaching of the gospel. It says here, Paul, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Brethren, the debt needs to be paid. It's our job to pay it. We're the servants of a living God. And what he demands from us is to pay this debt that we owe, that he's put on us. He paid the debt that we owed him, and he gave us salvation by sending his own son who loved us and died for us. And now what he asks is our life to be lived for him, for us to let him live his life through us now, and to preach his gospel, the gospel of Christ, so that they might be saved, so that they might have eternal life. The debt needs to be paid. And it's not going to be paid through those other things. We need to keep our emphasis on what's right and our perspective right. We'll do a lot of things for our own joys, for our own wants. But what will we do for the Lord? What will we give for him? Are we willing really to give up that pride where we're not ashamed to preach his gospel, to preach his word? Paul says he wasn't ashamed. I know that there was a time in my life when I was kind of ashamed to preach the gospel. And I came to the point where I got to thinking, if before I got saved, when I was doing all the things I was doing, and I remembered clear as day when I was using the drugs and everything that I was using, that I didn't care what people thought about me. I lost all my self-respect just so I could run around and all the things that I was doing. And I got to thinking, if I could give it all up then, what's the problem now? You know, who am I now? I'm still the same person, good for nothing. Christ in me is the one who's made the change, not me, myself. What do I have to be proud of? Nothing. So there's no need to be ashamed. If the world thinks you're crazy in the first place, well, why not give them a reason for what they're saying? And why not let them know what exactly you believe about the matter so that they're not just making things up? A lot of people say a lot of things about me, and then when they end up talking to me, when they talk to me, they find out, hey, wait a minute. That's not what everybody's been telling me. It's a little bit different here. But they need to hear. We have that debt, and we need to pay that debt. If you don't want to, you don't have to. God's left it up to you. You want to be a good servant? You can be one. You want to be the best servant he's got? Go for it. Because it's coming a day when it's going to be too late. When all's been said and done, the books will be closed, everything will be done written, and you'll stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And as the brother read earlier, we persuade men. Knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. There's coming a day when they'll stand before God. The books will be reopened. There's everything you did. You thought by your good works you're going to be saved. There ain't enough here to make any difference. You got too many sins. And even if you didn't have so many, one's enough to condemn you. And for us, the day's coming too when we're going to be judged. The books will be reopened, and let's see what you've done for me. Well, you did this, that, and the other. You missed out on a lot of blessings because you could have done this, this, and this. What exactly are you willing to give up for the Lord? You willing to leave here and go work in another country and preach the gospel? You willing to talk to your own neighbors or the people at your job about Christ? Brother was sharing this morning that there's a gap that needs to be filled. And there's gaps everywhere, here and there. You need to get in the gap that the Lord wants you to be in. Ask him where he wants you. If you're not sure, if you have any doubt as to which gap you're to fill, go to the Lord and ask him. He's waiting to lead you there. Get you by the hand, he'll take you. I know with me, my desire was to go to Mexico and preach his word. And I used to try and do it by myself. And I always came back after a week or two at the most. And finally, the Lord made it clear to me, now's the time. Now I'm ready to take you. Now that you've realized that you yourself can't do it, let me take you. And he took me by the hand. And he's led me ever since, and he's continued to lead me. And he can do the same for you. He's waiting for you to come to Him, for you to want and desire to be that servant. The best one He's got. The one He can count on. The one that He can put in whichever gap He wants to put you in. And He knows that you'll go there. He's a living God. We owe Him a debt. We need to pay it. My message isn't very long, but I hope it's to the point. There's a lot of gaps. Wherever you go, there's gaps. Whichever city, whichever town. Lagos de Moreno, where I was at for 5.5 years or so, there was a humongous gap there. About 99% or 99.9, somewhere around there, pure religion. They didn't have Christ. Preached the gospel there, and there was one soul that was saved there. There was a few others that looked us up and started meeting with us, and then they basically dwindled away. That one brother's still there, filling in the gap. He's preaching the gospel. He's being faithful to the Lord. Not being faithful to me, because if he was done to do that, he would have quit just like the others before he quit. Being faithful to the Lord. He's seeking the Lord. He wants the Lord's will in his life. The other day he was talking to me, it really almost cracked me up a minute ago when Brian said that I had the desire. That brother, the other day he was telling me that he doesn't think he has any gift at all from God except for the gift of will to do His will. The gift of desire to do the Lord's will. He didn't think he had the gift of preaching or teaching or anything. He said, the only gift I got is the gift of the desire to those things and do the Lord's will and preach His word and see others saved. And the Lord's one doing the work. And we need to get out of the way and let Him do it. Through us. But without us getting in the way.